I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. When South Sudan became an independent nation in July, there was concern that violence could break out along the new international border that separates the two Sudans. But an outbreak of violence within South Sudan makes clear that the infant country faces other serious challenges as well. Authorities say more than 150 people have been killed in the latest violence in South Sudan's vast Jonglei state. Thousands of fighters from one ethnic group, the Lao Nuer, attacked a town populated by members of a rival tribe, the Murilay. The BBC's Will Ross is in neighboring Kenya.
We're hearing reports from the areas outside the town of Pibor, from where many people have fled, that several massacres have taken place. It's very difficult to get an idea of the scale, but I spoke to one Murilay woman who told me she received a phone call from her mother, who had heard that all 20 of their relatives had been killed. They had left the town a few days ago on foot. They walked for about 3 hours to what they thought was a safe place, and the entire family was killed. I've spoken to other people who have told me about killings in far-flung places outside Pibor, and basically the tens of thousands, we think somewhere between 20 and 40,000 people on the move, and they're getting absolutely no assistance or protection whatsoever.
So is it being described as ethnic violence? Because, as you also pointed out, this conflict began as cattle raids, which sounds very economic.
Certainly cattle are a trigger for the violence, and historically that's been the source of the conflict. I think there are many more guns in the hands of people now because of the years of war between the north and the south, and also the borders around there are fairly porous. But you can't really overestimate the importance of the cattle to these people. They are the bank. They're how they store their money. When somebody gets married, for instance, a vast number of cattle are handed over. So when these raids take place, they principally are to get cattle. And in one of them, I think in August last year, approximately 40,000 head of cattle were stolen. So that's the sort of scale we're talking about. But when those attacks happen, at the same time as stealing the cattle, people are killed, and also children have been abducted, especially by the Murilay people. And that's what's angered the Lao Nuer so much. They say, we've got to get our children back.
I'm wondering what people in South Sudan make of all this, because, I mean, their country was one of the apparent success stories in Africa in 2011, became the continent's newest independent nation. Can it live at peace within its own borders and with its neighbors? Are people there even thinking about that heady moment last summer?
Some of the problems of the South have been sort of glossed over during the celebrations. Even in the lead-up to those independence celebrations in July, there were some terrible attacks in the South that people didn't really talk about much because the international community was sort of building up to this momentous occasion of the South breaking away from Sudan. So obviously there's a lot of hope, especially, you know, if you talk to people in towns and the capital like Juba, but then you go out into the villages and nothing has changed, and you get a sense that, you know, some communities might not be very aware of what the independence really is all about, because their daily struggles are so immense that a celebration one day in July doesn't really make any difference when you're facing frequent battles with neighbors.
Well, one thing that we haven't talked about is vast oil reserves in the disputed border region between South Sudan and Sudan. And lately, South Sudan's president, Salva Kiir, has accused Sudan's government in the north of trying to grab that oil. I'm wondering if these two nations could cut some sort of deal to try to share the oil wealth that they both need.
Well, there are obviously a lot of things that weren't sorted out when the South broke away, and that is the source of a lot of tension. The border wasn't even demarcated properly, so there's still a lot of tension on the border. The oil revenues weren't worked out, how they would share it all out. So it's not surprising at this stage, you know, 6 months down the line, accusations flying back and forth about the oil money and, you know, the suggestion that some of the conflict on the border is being fueled in order to try and grab the oil fields. These two countries had a very messy divorce. Many predicted it wouldn't even happen at all. And now they're living with the aftermath of that messy divorce, which includes these unresolved issues. And unless they sort out the oil, you know, that is very likely, because of obviously the huge economic importance, it's very likely to trigger more violence. But it's clear the government in the south, if it really wants to have any chance of keeping the peace within the country, let alone between the north and the south, it's going to have to work to build the bridges between these ethnic groups, because the the violence is on such a scale that you don't really know how the authorities are going to be able to stop it.
The BBC's East Africa correspondent Will Ross in Nairobi talking about the roots of inter-ethnic violence in neighboring South Sudan. Will, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.